But returning first to the story about the Commerce Commission's interim report into the banking sector published this morning. Its interim report on its market study into personal banking services such as home loans, deposits, credit cards and overdrafts says there's a two-tier market in which the big four Australian-owned banks have the major share and the smaller operators offer no threat to that dominance. The Commission says the sector lacks disruptive forces to drive change and deliver benefits to consumers. It's recommending the government look at ways to beef up Kiwibank, the state-owned bank, speed moves to open banking to allow consumers to switch banks easily, and to get more information to consumers to make better choices. And it's recommending changes to regulatory settings to achieve this. John Small is Chairman of the Commerce Commission. Good morning and thanks.
Kia ora, Catherine. Nice to be here.
Do you conclude that the big four banks are making excess profits?
We think the profits are higher than they would be if the market was more competitive, yes. We've benchmarked the profitability against an international sample, and on all three measures that we've looked at, the New Zealand banking sector is comfortably in the upper quartile of that sample. And we also think that that's, you know, there are some factors in New Zealand that, such as country risk, that may contribute to that, but offsetting those is the fact that we've got a pretty low risk, vanilla kind of banking sector that's heavily dominated by home loans.
Did you also reference in the report the way this is reported, the way boards report compared to what ratings agencies may look at, for example? Are we getting a clear reporting picture of profits and profitability?
I think so. Yes, we've taken the Reserve Bank's estimates of profitability. We exposed those for consultation, and then we asked people to tell us, you know, why they thought that these numbers were high, and so that was the approach we took. But we've got no reason to doubt the veracity of the numbers.
It's not so much veracity as opaqueness, potentially, isn't it? But let's look at some of the key issues. Two-tier, dominated by the big four and one smaller state-owned bank, which you say is not enough at this stage to disrupt. Let's look at some of the recommendations. One of them is to beef up Kiwibank so it can be a disruptor. Is this essentially saying to the government, pump in more capital? What else might happen to enable Kiwibank to change things up?
Yes, the capital's part of the story, but it's probably not the whole story. We know that some of the other smaller banks are also capital constrained, that they could sell more and grow a bit more if they could get in more capital. Kiwibank is sitting there comfortably larger than that lower tier, but materially smaller than the majors. So we think it's best place to do this. Yes, it is about capital for sure, but it's also about strategic direction and systems that set it up with the objective of gaining market share. And gaining market share will automatically disrupt the big four.
So it's not just about making Kiwibank bigger, it's about these other things to enable market share to grow beyond the big four. Let's talk about open banking. We've already discussed it for listeners this morning. A key factor is to think of it simply as account number portability and a smooth transition if you want to switch banks. Would it also open up the ability for customers to get their numbers run through by a possible competitor? Could you explain?
Yes. The way open banking works is essentially that let's take the big four. The big four would need to open up secure portals to their information systems so that accredited and certified third parties who are trusted by consumers and verified by criteria are then able to act on consumers' behalf to get into their own bank and do things for them, such as move money around in accounts, make sure that they're optimising where they can get interest payments without compromising their ability to pay bills, doing payroll services for small companies, and then in future competing directly against the big banks to provide loans and deposit accounts. So it's a question of getting the plumbing right into the big banks, and so that other parties can directly compete with them using your information. Remember, it's your information that is there. That's why the underlying principle is called a consumer data right. It is your data. So you have the ability then to allow somebody else to manipulate that on your behalf.
Look, we're 5 years behind Australia on this, 10 years behind Europe, we're told. You've actually given a mid-2026 deadline, so a two-year deadline for regulatory backstops to force this, at least the minimum requirements, if banks don't get on with it. Do you believe they are dragging the chain? Will they need to be pushed?
The purpose of the regulatory backstops that we're suggesting is to create a credible threat so the banks look at this and say, we either do this to ourselves or it's going to be done to us. And so that's when we say regulatory backstops, that's the import of it. And that needs to happen. Part of that is the Commission's responsibility. We're pushing along that route, consulting on ways to do that in the payment space, which we think will prepare the way for open banking and could be done reasonably quickly. I haven't seen anywhere in the world where the industry has just done this themselves without any official intervention.
What might it take? I'm not sure this is directly addressed in your recommendations, although you do ask for the regulatory environment to be cognizant of competition when it's doing other things like consumer protection, for example, and even financial stability, right? The RB.
Yes, yes.
But be mindful of competition. And this gets to this issue, for example, of the public perception of these smaller players. We were discussing earlier the RB's looking at introducing its deposit guarantee move by mid-next year. Up to $100,000 in your bank account would be guaranteed if you're with an approved provider. Is that going to be essential to shifting the psyche that people have around the Big Four? They perceive governments would bail out the Big Four, but maybe not their smaller bank?
There is a perception of safety and stability, and those things do matter a lot, and that's one of the reasons that the Big Four have an advantage. They've got very strong brands, they've got a national reach, and that's a massive advantage to start nibbling into. So the Depositor Compensation Scheme will help that to some extent. It'll help small banks to compete for deposits. Transaction deposits, are a huge source and valuable source of not just funding, but fairly stable customer bases. And what we found in the study is that even within a bank, the sources of funding are for small providers much more heavily dependent on deposits, but that they are at a severe price disadvantage in attracting those deposits. So, that probably sounds all quite complicated. There's a lot of things going on in here, but the regulatory settings are a big part of it. Similarly, regulatory capital, where the big banks have had for 15 years or so a significant advantage in terms of holding less capital than their smaller rivals against the same loans of the same risk. So those are the sorts of things that we think need to be really thought carefully about and levelled up.
Do you hope this will bring in some bigger international players so that it's not just the small guys working against those headwinds, but that we might see some one or two very well-heeled competitors come in?
Look, I think that's entirely possible. The theme of our report really is that we're not after just promoting one disruptor, one maverick. What we're trying to do is to set the sector up so that it's competitive and contestable over the longer run, and that will enable other banks to come in. We already have, you know, a couple of Chinese banks in New Zealand, but they're not, you know, they're not really into this space. So, you know, it's entirely possible that we'd get big entry from offshore, and also that we'd free up people like KiwiSaver providers to do more things for us.
You also talk about how some groups are disadvantaged here. You talk about Māori and Pacifica. You argue also that a basic bank account service that is accessible to any New Zealander. Did you look specifically at youth? Because there's a lot of young people not opening a bank account and finding it really complicated to do so.
Yeah, no, look, that is part of it. It's all of those groups. Young people, you know, refugees, people who have just come out of prison, people fleeing domestic violence. There's a whole lot of different people who struggle to provide the information in the form that the banks demand it for the purpose of opening a bank account. So there's a big unbanked sector out there, which is, you know, that's bad for financial inclusion, and we think a basic bank account could eliminate a lot of that risk. The reason that they require all this information is because of anti-money laundering rules. And so, you know, we think, you know, for example, you know, a child's account, you could put some limits on the, you know, the amount of money.
Half a million, perhaps.
Exactly, and it's okay. not going to be a money laundering thing. Just one other thing on that, though, is that access to bank accounts is also an issue for fintechs who want to get in and compete with the big banks. This has surprised us a bit, that they also find it very difficult to get and maintain a bank account, pretty much for the same reason.
Well, they're just being, for money laundering rather than just shutting them out for money laundering reasons. Okay, just finally, is it going to take, from what you've seen in the study, let alone what people have felt for many years, is it going to take that regulatory backstop to make this happen and happen in a timely manner?
Yes, well, I think so. If open banking, if the majors wanted open banking, we would have had it already. So we feel that we do need some regulatory backstops to push things along.
Really appreciate your time. Thank you, John Small, as Chair of the Commerce Commission. That report just out this morning, an interim report, but it has surprised some commentators with the strength of the recommendations, including that proposed regulatory deadline, backstop anyway, for introducing open banking. Which is a date of mid-2026.